like to call us back from recess. And we're meeting with Lisa Wright. And we're going to be conducting the audit exit for our financial audit and statements, etc. Good morning.
Good morning.
How are you?
Good.
The reason I was so formal when I did that is, again, because we broadcast this live over the Internet and we're recording. So
okay.
That's so that everyone knows who you are and who we are. We would just like to turn it over to you and let's chat about the audit and the comments you have about the audit. I know that when we met in executive session, you had a couple of things that you had discussed, and I think that you made the comment that we had a clean audit.
Yes.
But I will leave that all to you and let you move through a presentation, if you will.
Okay. You have a clean, unqualified opinion audit. Also, there were no instances of material noncompliance to the financial statements. So, if you're looking at the audit report, the opinion on the audit is about 3 pages long, and it describes your responsibility for the financial statements and my responsibility, and then my opinion on those items. So my opinion is it's an unqualified audit, which means the financial statements are fairly presented. If you want to turn to page 4, there's a management discussion and analysis, and it provides some financial highlights for the county. Net assets increased by around $2 million. The fund balance for the general fund increased around $300,000. The road and bridge fund increased, but most of that was due to the combining of the two funds. The debt service payments on the long-term debt remain the same, and the sales tax collections for 2012 we're down a little bit, but we're higher than anticipated. So those are the big financial highlights. Anybody have any questions? Nope.
Rick, would you like to join us? Well, I thought while we were going along, if you had questions, you could... Okay. All right.
I'll still sit here.
If you're looking at the report, page 6 and 7 kind of give you a really good condensed overview of what is happening. So if any of you have any questions over that, that'd be a good place to go. Page 8 gives a good budget versus actual of the general fund. And then on page 9 provides a statement of net position, which kind of gives all of... it's broken down in between the government activities and the business type activities. That gives you your cash for each of those. Page 10 and 11 give you an overview of the sewer district. They are considered a component union, and those financial statements were audited by another auditor. But included in this report because it is considered a component unit. Page 12 gives you... Go ahead.
Lisa, I'm sorry, can I interrupt you?
Yep.
When you're saying component unit, even though it's recognized as... They are recognized as an autonomous political subdivision, they're a component unit because... not because we appoint them, because we're passing the funds through to them, or why are they considered a component unit?
A couple of reasons. Yes, you appoint them, and two, they still have economic dependency upon the county. So both of those conditions qualify them for a component unit.
Okay. So if the sales tax did not exist, for example, and they were sewering the area through revenue bonds for individual areas, they would no longer be considered a component unit?
You'd also have to look into the appointments if they were an autonomous board.
Okay.
So there's a couple of things to do there to make them completely a separate entity.
All right.
That's one of those things that can be kind of an opinion kind of deal. We have it at times had an auditor that felt like our Taney County Health Department was a component unit. But, they look at several different things and make an opinion on that, too.
Well, for years they were considered, right, a component unit. They no longer are they?
No. Mm-hmm. And I think that's a correct opinion right now. I don't believe they should be.
Okay. Thank you, Lisa.
All right.
Anyway, we have their financials included within our financials.
Yes, because they are a component unit. Now, okay. If you get to a spot down the road where they are no longer a component unit, then those two pages would be eliminated from your audit report.
Okay.
And then 12 gives you kind of just an income statement, so to speak, a summary of income that comes in and expenditures by type for the county. It's a good little summary. And then as you move further through the report, what we've just gone over are the summaries. And then they're broken down by accounts or funds, and it gets more detailed as we move along. So page 13 and 14 break things out by your general fund and your road and bridge trust fund, because that's another one of the bigger funds that you have. And all the other government funds are lumped together in the third column. But you'll see the balance sheet for them. And then on page 14, you have the same type of classification, and it shows the revenue and expenses for those, broken out by those three major funds.
Why would not the sewer sales tax be included here?
The sewer sales tax for the that runs through the county, or
it's a county sales tax, and then by intergovernmental agreement we pass funds through for capital improvements to the sewer district.
Okay. It is probably lumped in with the other governmental funds. You have some flexibility on the presentation that you'd like this to have, and this is just kind of what you've seen in the past.
Okay.
Page 15 and 16 detail the enterprise fund, which is your transfer fund station. So it's an enterprise fund, which means it is more like a business activity fund. So it's, you might notice that its balance sheet and income statement are just in a little bit different format than the rest of the government funds. And that's because it is a business-type entity, and you'll also notice it has one more statement. It has a statement of cash flows, because those three statements are typical of a business entity. So then you present that business-type entity on similar financial statements as you would a regular business. So it gets just a little bit more detail. And then the last couple pages of the financials show the agency funds, which are funds that you hold for four different funds. You will also notice that probably the next 10 or so pages are the financial notes, which give a narrative to the activities that the county is doing.
Before you go on page 18 and 19,
mm-hmm.
I'm looking at all the funds that drug fund, domestic violence fund, sheriff's revolving fund, recorder fund, prosecuting attorney, bad check fund, fines and forfeiture funds. There's a number of them I'm listing out. I don't see any of the election funds.
I think those are at the very back in the supplemental. We just haven't got those yet.
That's fine.
Like page 39 and 40 and 41. I think those are in. Yes.
Got it. Thank you. Donna, you said those are in here? Pardon? Does it show your grants funds from Secretary of State's office? And
I won't have the detail to have the grants fund through your separate line.
I see elections services fund. Okay.
All right.
I'm sorry.
Okay.
Back, where were we? Page 20.
We're back to page 20, and these are the notes to the financial statements, which give kind of a narrative description of items that are happening. Kind of explains what a component unit is, the financial reporting entity. The summary of significant accounting policies. You guys are on a modified cash basis of accounting, which means that you record the revenue when you receive it and the expenses when you pay them. Another type of accounting is an accrual where you match the revenue and expenses. So you can kind of flip through and let me know if you want something with more clarification. It kind of describes the grants that you participate in. Just a general description that there are some legal matters happening. A description of your pension plans, the two types. Your tax levy, the sewer district has some long-term debt, so it gives the payback periods for that. And just some of the inner fund transfers, what went in and out of the different funds. Once you are past the notes, you're onto the required supplementary information. That gives you a good budget to actual of the county. And then you also have your budget to actual for the road and bridge fund, since we kind of decided that was a major fund to disclose. If you, in the future, if you wanted more funds, then each of them get financial statements, and then they would each get a budget to actual. And then there's some other financial information, which we were kind of looking at earlier. And those are the major revenue funds. So that's kind of a brief, just little overview of what's entailed in the report. Like I said before, it's a clean audit, an unqualified opinion. No instances of non-compliance. When we met, we had a couple of suggestions. You know, we're a little concerned about the segregation of duties. Being a small entity, try to have some oversight and more than one person looking at items. And then the suggestion to make sure that you have someone keeping track of your grants so you know if you need a single audit or not.
Okay, let's start at those backwards. The someone to track grants, you know that we have brought someone on board to do that for us.
Yep.
And we're trying to answer that. What else do we need to add to that, if anything?
I would just make sure that she has a complete knowledge and listing of the grants. Two reasons that would make the audit run a little smoother. But also it gives you the information you need to know if you do need a single audit or not, because that would definitely affect the timing and the cost of your audit. If you do need a single audit, I think it has to be sent to the Federal Clearinghouse 9 months after year end. And there's probably, you know, a week or a week and a half of extra more detailed testing that needs to go into the audit, because it's a compliance section of the audit. And I think you are required to, you as a financial entity are supposed to keep a track, a listing of those to determine if you qualify for a single or an A-133 audit.
Ron, one of the important things there is, number one, she needs to be aware of any grant and the amount that was approved, the amount that we spend. And it's, you know, I tried to track these somewhat, and it's not difficult to see them when they come through accounts payable sometimes, but to know when they're when they're approved, sometimes I had trouble with that. And I don't know if there's a process that you can help her with making sure that she's aware of any grant that's been approved. But if there is, that would be important, I think.
Okay.
And also the tricky thing about the single audit determination is it's required in the year that you spend the money, like instead of when you receive the money.
So if I receive the money this year and spend it in 3 years, it's required then?
Yes, but typically they don't always work that way. Some of them you have to spend the money first, or it's a reimbursement grant.
Compliance is required the year that you spend the funds? Is that what you said?
It's required the year that the total amount that you can spend without having the single audit is $500,000.
Right.
That is going up to $750,000 very soon.
I think they've taken
it's either 13 or 14. So that gives you more to spend before you have to have that audit. But let's take this year, for example. I think you did receive more than $500,000 in federal grants, but you spent spent about $390,000 for this fiscal year. So then the single audit wasn't required.
Also, there has to be determination as to whether or not those are federal monies or whether they're state monies. For instance, our deputy sheriff's supplemental salary is state money, so it is not included in that total. So anything that's state money, I think DOT, some of the DOT will be federal money because it's a pass-through, and some of it will be state money because it's just state. So that's kind of an important thing, too.
If they come from the state of Missouri, typically they will say if a portion is federal funding, because it needs to be tracked by a number. So it gives you the number. And
CDFA, I think. Mm-hmm.
And then the amount. So the person that you have in charge of that needs to have access to basically all the grant agreements in order for her to keep track of those from every department.
The other thing you mentioned was segregation of duties.
Yes. We talked about that some. We as auditors like to have different people doing different functions as far as, you know, taking money in, writing a check, reconciling the bank statement, approving the check. And it's hard in a small entity like this to make sure you have those. And we also like to have approvals and things double-checked. So not everything, I think, meets those criteria here. And it'd be nice to have maybe some departments checking other departments to ensure that we have those checks and balances in place.
Okay, specifically, are you talking about accounts payroll? What are you talking about? Are you talking about something in the collector's office, clerk's office, sheriff's office, all offices, commissioner's office? I don't need to let us out.
I think you do some approving of the accounts payable, correct? Or you approve the checks?
They approve all accounts payable.
Okay, all accounts payable. So that's a layer of checks and balances. I think there's some checks that go out of the collector's office that she takes the money in and she's writing the check for. Is that correct?
School funds, I think.
I think so. That it'd be nice to have some approval on that. Just kind of an overall, checks and balances. I think that's what your state auditor is doing. Is that correct?
They're looking at all the functions of county government, right?
Yeah. So they'll be able to probably to recommend what you need to do there.
Right now, Ron, those checks that come in and go out, she receives those, comes into her office. I sign with her on those, and I do a daily balance with her on all those things. I actually now get a copy of her bank statements. I hadn't been getting that, but I will now. If you wanted to add another layer, you guys might want to approve those checks before they go out. I don't know. It would increase the time that it would take to get the schools their funds, which is not a good thing. So you have to.
Are you talking about the monies being dispersed from that office or passed to the treasurer and then dispersed? Is that the layer that you're? But I'm.
They are not passed to the treasurer and dispersed.
I'm asking if that's what thinks it should be.
I'm thinking just another person reviewing those funds.
Okay.
I know you certainly could review them. Does the treasurer write the checks or the collector?
The collector writes the checks.
Checks, okay. Then the treasurer could... Who reconciles the bank statement on that? The treasurer?
know, the collector reconciles
sells the bank statements to. So then the treasurer could approve that if you wanted, but then have someone else approve the bank reconciliation.
Guys, have some questions?
I think you're doing fine.
You have anything else, Lisa?
I don't think so. I think that's all.
Does any member of the public have questions of Lisa while she's here? This would be an opportunity for any of the three of you that are sitting back there that might have a question to ask if you want. Donna, is that a pass or? Oh.
Except spell personal credit.
Where is that one?
You have an E on it.
And there isn't one? Okay. I'll fix that.
Ask him if he feels much taller than me. I've sunk all the way down. Nothing else, Lisa?
All right.
Well, we thank you very much for providing us with what you have provided us, for the audit that you've conducted, and appreciate your comments today.
Right,
if we have additional comments, we're going to contact you, if that's all right.
That would be perfect.
And or questions. And,
okay.
And there may be some. But thank you very much.
Thank you, and I enjoyed working here.
Thank you very much. I would ask that we stand in recess until we open the budget at 1 o'clock.